Now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
One woman show entitled, it's being staged, Bobby Dooley portrays Princess Diana, My Heart Will Go On, a one-woman show appearing at the various middle schools around Southern California. Bobby's on the line with us. Why this show?
So I think a lot of people have forgotten Diana in the entire hubbub around 9/11, but I have never forgotten. And I want to help school kids never forget, too. I just refuse to let Diana's memory die because I feel that I knew her, and I feel like, unlike most women, I never forgot her. So I know Diana the way a lot of women don't know her. We have a connection almost.
Did you know her? I mean, in life?
I didn't know her. I'd never met her, but that doesn't matter. I knew her. And I hope your mind is big enough to understand. I hope your listeners' minds are big enough to understand that I knew Diana, and a lot of women thought that they did, but I just knew the woman's heart.
Well, what is the connection between you and Princess Diana?
Well, for starters, Phil, I dress a lot like her. I'm similar to her in that I do enjoy elegant things. I am, and I hope you don't think I'm immodest. I'm pretty the way she was. So I refuse to let our school children forget Diana, even if the parents have. And that's why I want to be with the kids. I do consider myself to be, in a way, Diana's surrogate here on Earth.
Now, you're a housewife from Western Estates, California. You're not royalty or anything, are you?
Well, that really doesn't make any difference.
No, but I'm just curious.
I think I'm special in that my husband and I have a very wildly successful landscaping business. I'm the president of our homeowners association. I'm the president of our parent-teacher organization. I followed Diana throughout her life. I knew how she must have felt when she was, you know, thrown over by Prince Charles. So I do consider myself to be Diana's surrogate in a way here on this earth, since God did take her from us. I'm keeping her alive.
Well, now, can I ask you something? You're at Western Estates Middle School today to do this performance for the kids.
That's correct, yes.
Who's Carol Cooper?
Well, Carol Cooper, bless her heart, she was a member of our homeowners association. She wanted to do her own Princess Diana show for the kids. But I nipped that in the bud pretty quick. She,
Why?
Well, I was going to say, she really doesn't have the essence of Diana the way I do. Plus, I look a little like Diana, and Carol, bless her heart, is really very plain-looking.
Well, when you say you nipped it in the bud, this woman had a plan to do her own Princess Diana show for the kids?
Yeah, but I nipped that in the bud. I'm not going to let that happen.
Why? I mean...
Well, Phil, I knew Diana's heart. I followed her life. I read all the magazine articles about her. I was glued to the TV set when she died. I don't want Carol out there looking as plain as she does, and I don't mean to be cruel. I want the schools to have a good rendition of Diana, and so I nipped it in the bud. I let the schools know that her version did suffer a bit, and she had a bit of a drinking problem too, which I didn't want the schools to know, and that she'd suffered through some abortions. I just don't think the timing was right for Carol, and I couldn't take the chance of her making a complete mockery of Princess Diana, who's given me and many, many women all over America a reason to live.
So you'll be doing Princess Diana, My Heart Will Go On, a one-woman show for various middle schools. Are you charging money?
I do, Phil, but it goes to charity. I charge the children $1. Otherwise, if the children don't pay, they can go to the library or cafeteria. But I charge $1, and the proceeds go... just as Diana's proceeds went to a charity, mine would go to a charity.
All right. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here in the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to Bobby Dooley, who is doing a one-woman show, Princess Diana, My Heart Will Go On, a one-woman show, and you are not allowing any other women from your homeowners association to do this for the kids because you feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, you feel you embody Diana.
I knew Diana's heart the way I don't think most women did. I followed her on TV. I followed all the magazine articles. I was very caught up in the hubbub around her death. And plus, our charity will give money to our charities for people who weren't, because California doesn't have landmines, which is the charity that Diana supported, but our charity will give money to people who might look like they stood on a landmine, if they're missing limbs or anything.
All right, you say a portion of the proceeds?
Yes.
Where does the rest of the money go?
Well, it goes to me. I mean, it goes our makeup, wigs. I have one of the gals from the Homeowners Association setting up the stage. I have a microphone. I have a fog machine, which makes Diana look as if she's coming down from heaven.
Well, what makes you act, your act, for instance, contain the essence of Princess Diana?
Because, Phil, I feel as if, look, everybody forgot about Diana. It's going to be the fifth anniversary of her death, but I haven't. And that, you see, so that makes me different right there. All the other women that I know on the street forgot about it, and they're all about 9/11, and they're all about all this other stuff, you know, the child molestations. I refuse to let Diana's memory die.
Yeah, but what makes your act contain the essence of her?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil, we do some very daring things. We do some risky things. When you're an actor, you connect with a character. You visualize a string going from your soul to their soul. And even though Diana went through the windshield of a car, the string isn't broken.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
Well, we show the aftermath of the accident as if she is talking to us from after the accident. I want you to imagine, and if Craig Taylor can cue the music.
Do you have the music, Craig? He does. Go ahead, Craig, cue it now.
Okay. Imagine Princess Diana. The show opens with a thin layer of smoke. It's on the stage, very low. We then hear the sound of an automobile crash. And then I rise up from the smoke as Diana to reveal me, and I have a steering wheel coming out of my chest because that's what happened to her. All right?
She's dressed with a steering wheel out of her chest.
Yes. And I know it sounds unusual, and but it doesn't scare the children because we're playing this beautiful song.
Are you all right?
I'm just...
If you need a drink of water...
Pardon me for a minute. We revealed Diana. She is coming up from a thin layer of smoke. And it reveals me a steering wheel is protruding from my chest, and then I hold up a heart, which is actually a calf's heart that we got from a butcher, and he gives us three or four before each show. And that's supposed to be Diana's heart because the steering wheel pushed her heart out of her chest. And I say, my heart will go on. And the kids see that the spirit and love of Diana is still alive. And really, Phil, you ask the question, why am I doing it? Only I could do this, not some, and forgive me, but not some broken down alcoholic like Carol Cooper.
Well, that is awfully...
Phil, but hold on for a minute. And then I say as Diana, and I do it in a very British accent because she was from England. I'm Princess Diana. Tip, tip, want some chips and fish? Let's go to the loo and then wipe and then leave and go to the theater. God save the Queen. God save the Queen. Let's go to the loo and wipe. The loo, Phil, is the bathroom and...
All right, is she giving a speech about people who are missing limbs?
Yes. And the people that stepped on a landmine. The people stepped on a landmine. God save the Queen. Let's go stand in a queue. And by the way, Phil, chips and fish is the national food of Britain. Chips and fish is the national food of Britain.
I think having a steering wheel coming out of this woman's chest is awfully graphic.
You know something, Phil? We debated that. We really did. But because I know Diana and feel like I am almost, in a lot of ways, the embodiment of Diana, I would never be her, but I can do this and the children won't be scared. And the parents, I can assure you, through the force of my personality and performance, will applaud me.
If I'm a parent, though, and you do this for my my little fourth grader, and you rise up out of the smoke with a steering wheel coming out of your...
I know it's emotion, Phil.
I mean, you're rising up with a steering wheel coming out of your chest. And a heart? A calf's heart?
Phil, because... Listen to how lovely the music is. The children have to see the pain Diana went through to come back and help... to come back and help other children what got exploded by a landmine. And wherever you are, my heart will go... Isn't that lovely, Phil?
I fail to see how you're the only one that could do... Princess Diana?
Because, Phil, I identify so much with her. Even though Steve has never cheated on me, other things, I feel special, and I know that in many ways Diana was almost reaching out to us, those of us who loved her, to say, help me, I'm in England, and my husband is, you know, he's frightening looking, and how did this happen to me? Go on. It's very emotional. I know the parents will love it, Phil, so don't worry about the children seeing something graphic. Hang on, Phil.
All right, Bobby Dooley, what's going on?
One of the kids wanted an audit.
Hold back it.
Steve's here holding back the crowd.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. We can kill that music. Bobby, I'll put you on hold for a minute. Bobby Dooley, who's doing a one-woman show. Princess Diana, My Heart Will Go On, a one-woman show. This is, she wants to do it. Nobody else in the Homeowners Association. Carol Cooper tried to. I think it's very cruel to refer to her friend as a broken-down alcoholic who's had several abortions. She's also said that she does this show rising up out of a fog as if down from heaven with a steering wheel coming out of her chest, and she holds up the heart that was allegedly... There's a certain level of drama, I understand, but when you're doing this for middle school kids, there's a heart she holds up. It's a calf's heart that she says is Diana's heart that got pushed out of her chest after the steering wheel popped through. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Do you think this is a show that kids should see? And does she have the right to keep her friend Carol Cooper from doing a one-woman show on Diana? Because according to Bobby, she's an alcoholic. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The one-woman show is called Princess Diana, My Heart Will Go On, a one-woman show performed by Bobby Dooley, the Western States Parent Teacher Organization at various middle schools, and Bobby will be performing it today at Western States. This is a show that is graphic. It shows Diana with a steering wheel coming out of her chest and a calf's heart, which is supposed to be a human heart, and you then do a monologue like Princess Diana?
Well, yes. What you do, Phil, when you do a one-person show is you pretend like you're that person, and that's what I do. And I don't really have to do a lot of makeup and a lot of costume because I do look so much like her. So many people have said to me, my God, it's uncanny. And not only that, but I'm a lot like Diana in that I care. We'll collect money from the children for the play. And we do it, and this is what makes it unique, Phil. We do it in the hollow leg of a mannequin, as if it is a plastic leg that we got from Macy's. So the kids know the money is going to people, who don't have legs from explosions, which is what Princess Diana was all about.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Sharon. Go ahead, Sharon. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I would like to know exactly what school district would allow this person to come in and carry on with this show. I do not see any educational impact that this show would have. And I think it's really ludicrous that someone would come up in the middle school with a steering wheel coming out of their heart or come out of their body and a heart in their hand.
Sharon, what we want the children to realize is that Diana was a wonderful person, and that even though she had a steering wheel go through her, she's still the great Diana that we always knew.
I agree wholeheartedly, but I do not see I do not see an educational impact. Our schools are so jam-packed with education for the kids. This is absolutely not pertinent to their education. And I'll tell you what, I am glad I'm in Minnesota and not California. I am hanging up now.
Sharon, I knew Diana in my heart, and I know that she'd be very happy with this. And I think you need to understand that. Hello?
Street, don't bring it in the schools.
Well, no, why wouldn't... Of course we bring it in the schools. It's something that children need to know, that you can go through an automobile accident and have a very dear friend of mine was cut in half in a train accident, but yet I still remember him. You see what
that
I'm saying?
That is true. That's mm-hmm. wonderful. But mm-hmm. I feel that that is totally immaterial.
I mean, he had both parts of him in body bags. And
oh, well, no. Wait a minute. We don't need to be that graphic. We're talking about middle school children here, as Sharon's trying to point out. This is very graphic. It is violently graphic.
Oh, my God. And all the sex that they get to see, that's not graphic? I think we're upholding a woman. Sharon, are you there?
I am, okay. But I have to.
I want you to listen to this.
Because I am on my cell phone, and I'm going over
right.
a very busy bridge right now. So
here's
I
the beautiful
will listen
music.
To your comments on the radio,
here is
but
the music.
I do feel...
Then the accident. Okay. And then I come rising up out of the fog with a steering wheel through my chest, and I'm holding the heart that was torn from me, and yet I say, see, you see, see, and I'll hold it out for the kids. My heart goes on. What I'm trying to say, Phil, is that I don't think people should judge me. Sometimes at night...
I know you're upset.
No, listen. Sometimes at night when I'm sleeping, Steve says Diana speaks through me. And he'll hear me say, oh, Dodie, my heart. You know,
All right, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jean. Jean, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Ma'am, mm-hmm. I've worked in mental health work all of my career, mm-hmm. which is 40 years,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I just want you to know that mm-hmm. you should run, not walk, to the closest mental health center. It sounds like you've
Says
lost
who?
All touch with what's real.
Says who?
And to upset children with this kind of graphic material is totally uncalled for.
Well, what about
and,
when...
You know, I know you think you're doing mm-hmm. the right thing, but I feel like what you're doing is very harmful, and what you did to your... neighbor in your community was heartless and
what about in Lord of the Rings when they had
a major problem.
In Lord of the Rings they had a sword fight and that was
okay,
a wonderful
goodbye,
children's that was a wonderful children's listen to this. Then as the music starts, we hear that fateful crash. Up out of the fog I rise. Almost as if Jesus himself...
Isn't that sacrilegious?
What?
Jesus himself?
No, she's not Jesus, but she rises up out of the fog. Even though there's a steering wheel coming out of her chest, even though bits of upholstery are wrapped around her neck and coming out of her ear, and just horrible things, yes. Then I say to the children, hello, I'm Princess Diana. Don't worry about the steering wheel... or anything that happened to me, because my heart will go on. And then the music crescendos, and then I do a heel-toe, I do a jeté, and then I say, look, you see this? And I'm holding the heart, just as Celine Dion saying, my heart will go on. God strike that woman down if she thinks that that slut, Carol Cooper, can do a better Diana than me.
All right, okay.
And then, hello, I'm Princess Diana. You remember me from when I got in an automobile accident. But my heart will go, there. And, Phil, I'm telling you, there's not a dry eye in the house. Not a dry eye in the house. And it is a moment that we cherish.
I don't think anybody has a problem with you playing Princess Diana.
Thank you very much, Phil, because I'm getting the feeling that...
No, we don't have a problem with that. The problem we have is the graphic... Could we kill the music from it? The problem we have is the graphic...
Hold on, Phil, I have to give an audit.
Yeah, the problem that we... Are you there?
Hold on. Yes.
The problem we have is the graphic image of a steering wheel coming out of Diana's chest, and then see this, and you're holding a heart.
But that is what happened to her, and yet she still goes.
All right, I understand your emotional, Ms. Dooley. 1-800-449-8686. Princess Diana, one-woman show. Bobby Dooley is doing it with a steering wheel coming out of her chest. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Back with Bobby Dooley, who is appearing in a one-woman show at the Western States Middle School. Princess Diana, My Heart Will Go On, a one-woman show. The objection, I think, that a lot of us have is that you've got Diana with a steering wheel coming out of her chest, a bloody animal heart that's supposed to represent a human heart, and yet you're saying she'll go on.
Phil, there are an awful lot of things for the children, though, because the heart is attached to some guide wires, and it flies out of my hand, which shows that the heart does go on. And occasionally, if a child is upset with the performance, we have comic relief, and it's kind of fun. I lean over and I let the child honk the horn on the steering wheel so that she is not, you know, the child is not completely...
All right, so now you take Diana's life and you make a joke out of it.
No, I do not. And God, how dare you say that? I know this is going to sound strange, but I am Diana. I know her so much. I read all the magazines. I read the Life magazine special that they had in the supermarkets. I read the People magazine special. I read every Inquirer they had about her. I got the London Times newspaper, which is a newspaper published in London. And I read everything about that. I read about the Queen, mum. So I think it's very unfair to people say that this is anything other than a wonderful celebration of her life.
Let me go to another phone call here. I got Eileen. Hi, Eileen. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
This woman needs serious help.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way she should be taking a show like this to school children.
Mm-hmm.
If schools are allowing her in, their administrators should be relieved of their position.
What exactly is wrong with celebrating this great woman's life?
There's nothing wrong with celebrating the woman's life.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong is that you don't have a life. What's wrong is that you think by reading a magazine you know who she is. You don't even have a good British accent.
Oh, you know something?
What's wrong is that young children don't need to be subjected to a woman like you who slanders someone else on air.
Slander.
The woman you slandered,
I am celebrating her
slander.
Life. Oh, really? She's dead, so I guess she can't do that, can she?
I'm not talking about Princess Diana. I'm talking about your neighbor, Carol Cooper. You nipped in the bud.
Carol Cooper.
You slandered her.
Excuse me,
Eileen. You slandered
her. Eileen, Carol Cooper is a notorious alcoholic.
Oh,
she's
well,
had
there
three
you go
abortions.
Again, slandering her.
She's had three abortions.
What has that got to
do with
the woman's ability to put on a one-woman show?
Phil, I think someone should get in touch with Carol Cooper and have her call an attorney immediately and sue this woman for slander.
Oh, so she's going to sue me even though she's a Vicodin junkie.
I think this woman's husband should have her locked up. And
even
have
though,
her mental health questioned.
Even though she's a Vicodin junkie, she's going to sue me.
All right, so now she's a Vicodin junkie, she's had abortions, and she's a notorious alcoholic.
I don't think that's the kind of woman to represent Diana.
But you are.
I don't think a woman who slanders someone else on radio is the kind of woman to represent Diana.
It's not slander when it's true.
This is a private citizen.
Oh,
she's not a public personality.
Excuse me. You are slandering
Eileen,
her, dear. I'm an attorney.
Eileen.
I happen to know what slander is.
Oh,
and you
all
are
of a sudden,
slandering her.
All of a
and,
sudden,
you know,
a lawyer, huh?
She can get a tape of this show, and she can sue you and your husband with your wonderful landscaping business for everything you're worth and
you know,
then
Eileen,
some.
You know, Eileen, she eats Vicodin like Tic Tacs.
You know, Bobby, I'm going to tell you something, Bobby. I'm going to tell you something, Bobby. You need help.
You need a life,
and you need help.
I knew Diana so
and
well, and
I,
you're so
no, you
jealous.
You didn't know Diana. You did not know Diana.
You are hurting me.
You read
me.
Some magazine articles about her.
I read every
you
like...
You did not know Diana. Diana would be appalled by what you're doing.
You know something?
You are a very good woman,
and
any school that would employ you should have all of their administration fired.
Well, I don't think you even know what you're talking about. First of all, you said you're a lawyer.
Oh, I certainly do, dear. I certainly do.
Oh, you know something?
And if I were you, I'd lock up my money really safe because your friend Carol Cooper is going to be suing you very soon.
She eats Vicodin like Tic Tacs. Thank you very much, Eileen.
Oh, you're running away now. You're running? Carol Cooper can show...
I'm sorry?
I said that Carol Cooper can cram it. I am Diana.
All right, let me go to 1-800-449-8686. This is Pauline. Hello, Pauline. You're a native
yes,
of the
I'm
UK?
Here.
Yes,
I'm here.
Go right ahead, Pauline.
I'm from London, England.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think you're a phony.
You think I'm a
phony? Never been to England. You haven't got a clue. You've never been to England. Now,
I don't
fish and
to
chips is not the national dish. It's very, very popular.
Yes.
It's not the national dish.
Well, what is?
Roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, everybody eats that.
Yeah, well, that's right.
That's not...
That's a national dish.
That's American.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
All right, are we going to argue about...
Most people don't know how to do make a Yorkshire pudding.
You come from Britain,
listen,
right? So can you
just
give
another
me,
thing
can
is...
You, can I give you an excerpt of my show?
No, listen, no. Hello, no.
I'm Diana, Princess of
the other thing I want to bring out
it's one
is
for the money, two
that
for the
was
show.
No accident.
Free to get ready.
When she died, that was no accident. Now, I have to hang
up
because I have to run.
And my heart will go on. That's the wrong song. But you know what I'm saying. Pauline, are you there? Oh, so she gets in her little cutie and then runs off.
All right, well, Pauline's not there, but she's British, and I think she knows what she's talking about. Here is Donna on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just like to say that this woman has no clue about Diana.
Oh, and you
Diana
do?
Would not do this type of show for children. She was very protective of children.
Of
this
course.
Is not something she would approve of.
Well, but she's not... She didn't know she was going to die with a steering wheel through her chest either.
Well, no, she didn't.
Right.
But if you knew her like you say you did, you would know how protective she was of her own children, much as many parents are. And I, for one, would not let my children or this in a school, period.
Can I ask you something? What about the show is so wrong for children?
You know, we have
oh
to
God.
Protect our children. You
well,
know,
what,
it's...
What's wrong with... What do I do in the show that's wrong for children?
A steering wheel through your chest and a heart flying through the air, this is wrong. You know, I don't believe the administrators have let this in the schools.
I was absolutely destroyed when Diana died.
As many of us were, and you know, your type of show is not needed to remind us of that, because those of us who believed in what she stood for, you know, have not forgotten her.
You know,
by
Donna,
no means.
If Diana were here and she were on the phone with us right now, Donna, she'd give that little smile that we all know, you know, that cute one that only she could do, and she'd tell you to shut the cake hole.
Because well,
I doubt very much
exactly
that she would
that
say
is
that.
So not Diana.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah, Diana would never say, shut your cake hole.
Exactly. And even for everything she was going through with her family and Prince Charles, she never once said anything bad about them. If you saw all the interviews,
What do you think of this? Hello, I'm Diana, Princess of Wales. Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Oh, my God, here come the paparazzi. I'd like a G&T, just like the...
Oh, come on. Is this the show?
It has comedic value, Phil.
Yeah. You lean over with the steering wheel coming out of your chest, and a kid can honk the horn.
Sure.
One for the money, two to get ready, and three to... Oh, my God, here come the paparazzi.
I make the show wonderful for the children. And at the end, I do a little cartwheel to show that I still have my legs. But just imagine. And then up I rise. Wherever. And the bloody heart flies out of my hand, and it's hanging on a string. And Carol Cooper, you know what, Carol, if you're listening, why don't you just go ahead and crawl right back into that Tanqueray bottle.
What class?
Everybody back, get back.
What's he doing?
He's keeping all the autograph hounds away from me.
By the way, Phil, this is Steve Dooley.
What do you want?
The lucky kid who catches the heart gets a Bobby Dooley t-shirt.
Ow.
Absolutely disgraceful. 1-800-449-8686. This is the... Will you turn it off? This is the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
It is The Phil Hendry Show. Bobby, come on back out here for just a second. Are you there?
I'm right here, Phil.
Okay, why don't you tell everybody about who you really are?
I'm really a voice that Phil Hendry is doing right now.
So you don't exist?
No, I don't.
And you're not an actress playing a part. I'm doing your voice.
That's right. Bye, everybody, and I hope you enjoyed it. Ouch.
Okay, now, from yesterday's show, Don Parsley was on. He was talking about how his daughter had died in an automobile accident, and he wanted to start a fund for her to help other kids that might die in automobile accidents. Well, it gradually begins to take on the shape of some guy who's pulling a scam because his daughter's name is either Rebecca or Renee or Rhonda, and she either died in an automobile accident or a bicycle accident or was hit by a train. He can't keep his story straight, as you'll soon find out.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I have heard this guy say that he was driving the car. Now his son, she was hit by a train, she was drinking, she was 8, she was 16. This man is a liar.
Wait a minute. Have you ever lost a child? Have you ever lost a child?
Something as horrendous as a child dying.
That's right.
This is an outrage.
And it happened to me. And it happened.
Did not happen to you. You are a liar.
Hey.
You are trying to, no, don't hate me.
Hey.
You're a liar.
Have you ever lost a child?
Make something up on the life of a child is a horrendous thing. You will burn in hell for this.
Let me jump
in.
Okay. Yeah, last time I checked, I don't think you're God.
All right, gentlemen.
I know that. I'm not God, but I know there is one.
Last time I checked.
You will burn in hell.
Let me jump in, gentlemen. Is it possible, I would ask Randall, if this man is so traumatized by the loss of his wife and daughter that he is...
That's what the doctor said, that I would be confused.
I would be confused too, Mr. Hendry. I would be real confused, but I would not be a liar. This guy is a liar.
What am I lying about? My daughter's dead. That's number one.
I want you to send money to California, but he lives in Orlando. He is a liar, and he is
why do you have
the American public's heartstrings to grab money.
Why do you have a Los Angeles mailing address and you're in Orlando?
Because he is a liar. No, sir, because I'm planning on moving there.
I have nothing.
Your
son was in the car. You were in the car. It went off a cliff. It went in the ditch. It was on a bicycle. She's 8. She's 16. Your wife died of ovarian cancer. Your wife died.
No, I did
you're
not
a lying
say that.
Mother,
I said she
sir.
Got.
You're
she
a
died.
Lying mother.
All right. Whoa. You got to watch that leg. Okay. Goodbye, Randall.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hey, Vegas. Vegas is in our future. Las Vegas. And it's the first ever Phil Hendry Show live at the Luxor in Las Vegas. Now, a lot of you listen to the show. Would you like to see it performed? Well, you can. And all you have to do is come to Las Vegas with us September 27th through the 29th. Now, the weekend is going to kick off on Friday the 27th with a Hendry Happy Hour and our live broadcast of the show. So you can sit in there in the comfort of the Raw Nightclub at the Luxor in Las Vegas. Only Phil Hendry Show listeners will be there. So it's going to be our own exclusive party in the nightclub, and you'll be watching me perform the show. Then on Saturday night, we'll be back at the Raw because we're going to have a blues and brews party, and that'll just be for our listeners as well. And you can hang with me, and we'll be entertained by a live blues band, and we'll dance, and we'll sing, and we'll squat, and we'll tell stories, and we'll smoke a peace pipe, whatever you want. Now, this whole package that also includes two tickets to the King Tut Museum, the Oasis Spa, lodging for two at the Luxor in Las Vegas, along with the VIP passes to the parties, the whole thing costs only $348. This is an over $500 value. And this is for two people for $348, Jim. So this is a fantastic deal. And in order to assure your place at the Luxor in Las Vegas on that weekend, you have to call the Luxor Las Vegas reservation line right now and ask for the Phil Hendry package. There's no way you're going to be able to get into the hotel cheaper than this. I got news for you. So call 1-800-288-1000, 1-800-288-1000. Tell them you want the Phil Hendry package. Now, additional nights at a standard rack rate are available to purchase before or after. But if you want to get to our show, you have to be a Phil Hendry Show listener. You have to ask for the Phil Hendry package. You got to get the VIP tickets to get into the live broadcast and to get into the Blues and Brews party that we're going to have on Saturday night. You got to be 21 years of age. Sorry. And then you're there. So remember, call 1-800-288-1000. Ask only for the Phil Hendry package. There are a limited number of packages, so make your reservations now. We're going to have a ball. It's going to be at the Luxor in Las Vegas. I've never been there, but Chris Pelton, my very good friend who also screens our show, lives there. He says the place is great. Of course, Chris looks like he just got off the yard and was released on, you know, work furlough. But no, he's a good guy. I'm kidding, Chris. Chris has been there. Do you go to Vegas a lot, Craig? What do you think of Luxor? He's been there once, and, you know, it was so great, he's never been back. No, I'm kidding. You'll dig it. So it's the Luxor in Vegas, 1-800-288-1000, 1-800-288-1000 for the Phil Hendry Show package. They got, listen, would you win $500 in the Luxor slots last time you were there? That's pretty sweet. Only thing I do with those electric games is I play that video poker. I do that. And I go from machine to machine. The minute I hit a loss, I'm off the machine. I will not allow a machine to rape me to any great degree. You know, I lose a couple of hands. Goodbye. Next machine, next machine, next machine. I won a whole $3 doing that one night. Okay, so that's going to be great. And then we're going to be in New York on the week of the September 11th Memorial. We're going to be in New York all of that week from the 9th through the 13th, broadcasting live from... First of all, we will be live in New York from a studio in Midtown, and then on the 11th, we'll be at Ground Zero. We just barely got into New York because, isn't it kind of funny that people didn't want to travel for so long, right? Nobody wanted to come to New York. You can't get a hotel room in New York for that week. You can't do it. It is packed. It's so interesting how things have changed in the course of a year. Nobody wanted to go to New York. Nobody wanted to go to, nobody wanted to fly. And now you can't get a hotel room in that city. The studio that we're going to be in is on Wall Street. And then, that'll be cool. Is that Jim Cramer's studio? And then we will be at Ground Zero on the 11th. And I got to tell you something, and I've gone around and around about this. There's no sense in us doing a traditional Phil Hendry show on the 11th of September. I just don't see me doing shtickarooski on a day like that. So we'll play it pretty cool on September the 11th and sort of get into the mood and the rhythm of that day. But the rest of the shows we do in New York will be our usual fare. And my wife has already got all kinds of stuff planned. She does. She said, "Do you want to get tickets for Mamma Mia?" And Mamma Mia? You mean the ABBA show? Yes. We'll take the kids. We'll go to Central Park. We'll go get some of that Italian food in Brooklyn. It'll be great. I said, So you hear Mamma Mia, ABBA, I like them. Nobody that I admit that I like, but go see the Producers. You know, is that still going? I hear that's really rocking and rolling. The Producers, man, you couldn't get into that thing with a shoehorn, man. Now are tickets available for that? On eBay. Hey, Maria, eBay. Seriously. I'm going to have her go to eBay. All right, that's sweet. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Oh, and on September 20th, we'll be visiting our friends in Salt Lake City. Also, so it's kind of a chock-full September for the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Much has been made in the sports pages today about a suit or an outfit or whatever you want to call it, worn by Serena Williams at the U.S. Open, you know, the Williams sisters. And I found myself suddenly very interested in tennis this morning. I was not, and nor have I ever been really a tennis fan, but she was wearing this sort of spray-on, she called it a cat suit, and basically like hot pants with a tight, skin-tight top. Now, Serena Williams and her sister, but Serena especially, is a rather lovely woman. And she was wearing an outfit not unlike the track and field outfits worn by the women on our track and field teams. You know, the just basically like a bathing suit bottom. Only this has got a little bit of a short pant to it. I'm not trying to be a fashion critic here because I don't know what I'm talking about. But the suit was really, it's very sexy and it looked great. And I say this with a great deal of respect for her athletic prowess, but it reminds me of when I was a kid. See, tennis to me, I don't get it, I don't dig it. I don't watch it, I didn't play it, my wife plays it, my wife used to play doubles. And I know a lot of people go around the corner, we have a kind of a like a swim club around the corner from where I live, and there's also some tennis courts there. And think about tennis players always talking about, hey, I gotta get up tomorrow, you wanna get a game in? And it used to bug me. Those cats, they don't smoke. A few of them drink. They look really, really good. And they're all, you know, 60. And most of the cats I know that play tennis, because they don't have a job. They're all retired. And so their legs and their bodies are in great shape. And their faces look like they just pulled them out of a sarcophagus, just like they took a head transplant from King Tut. Anyway, this is a really sexy outfit. And it, of course, also accentuates that aspect of the African-American woman that men, white or black, have always enjoyed. And it ain't their breasts. Very spray-on effect. Looks like it's almost rubberized. Really nice looking. Kind of thing that shows what a woman with a, you know, a nice rear end can do. Like maybe crack walnuts with it. But I digress. Everybody's talking about this outfit. And I said to my wife this morning, you know, honey, I used to have a black girlfriend. No, I didn't say that. I said, you know, my freaking Maria, you know, this is a, she could talk all she wants about guys she used to date. I even bring up one, and it turns into, like, she goes for the new steak knives I bought. Yeah, she goes for those new German steak knives, the ones that are dishwasher safe. Okay, I don't want to hear about Yvonne anymore. No, I mean, I went out with her for 3 years. I know. And I don't want to know. Well, you know, it's just saying. I mean, you know, forget it. I won't even talk about it. So, she was in the newspaper today. Look at that. Whew, man, look at it. Looks really sexy. And she's a big chick. She goes against type. And the type that we're supposed to be attracted to, of course, and I've said this a lot on my show, is that rail thin anorexic 12-year-old boy body, which Craig Taylor just loves. Any woman that's got a little muscle, a little meat on her, we're supposed to run screaming from. Well, I've always been a guy who's enjoyed that more than the other way, and as a result, I've been the subject of mockery from my friends. And, hey, Phil, that's great. Was she going to carry you to the car? Are you? Boy, she looks nice and strong there. Watch out, pal. Looks like a fractured skull to me. So there she was. I thought, well, you know, this is what tennis needs to some degree. Hey, Phil, you been dating Xena? Oh, okay. Just wanted to know. Hey, Phil, how's Wonder Woman? Anyway, what if the guys are out there in, like, rubber shorts and thong? How long before? Hey, beach volleyball has had it down for years. The Brazilian women in beach volleyball, they got with the thong on and the tops come off and nobody cares. You talk about a kickback sport. Beach volleyball, I used to go to beach volleyball because I worked for a radio station. We'd sponsor these beach volleyball tournaments. I swear to God, Craig, this is, you've never seen anything like this. The women go out, and sometimes they hit a spike, and their tops come flying off, and, oh, look at that, you know, and they put them back on, and the fans are, all right, you know, nobody cares. Their pants are falling off, their tops are flying off, they get, you know, they want to make that point, so they forget about, they're like nude for 30 seconds, they play the point out. Honest to God, I've never seen anything like it before in my life. And I, you know, like I say, the only reason why I went is because the station sponsored the events. And then after I got fired, I kept on going, but only because of nostalgic purposes and reasons. And yeah, but beach volleyball is very loose. So the tops fly off, the pants fly off. Sometimes the girls start making out with each other. It's just, it's a very friendly atmosphere. The guys start making out with each other. It's a very friendly, guys and girls, you know, they'll, you know, point and then they're having sex together, but it's not offensive. Right there in the sand, rolling around like animals. So anyway, Serena Williams in her cat suit, and I thought, well, that thing looks great. And it reminded me of being a kid and I'd watch tennis on TV. The only reason I watched tennis on TV is I would watch the women. And the only reason I want to watch the women is they wore those little skirts. And every now and again, when they hit one of those two-handed backhands, which I always thought looked, well, that's great, girls ought to do that, then the little skirt would flip up a bit and you could see the panties. You know, that's how pathetic you are when you're 13. You know, when you're 13, you can't get a hold of a Playboy, nothing. So you're going into biology books and you're looking up the female form. So the little skirt would flip up and you're seeing some panty. Well, now forget it. You know, they're coming out there in rubberized, vulcanized rubber suits and they're out there. And the next thing you know, she'll be coming out wearing a leather mask and like the high-heeled sneakers. I think that tennis has an opportunity to become sexualized in a very entertaining way. They're just playing the game there, back and forth. And there's Lothar there in his rubberized, vulcanized rubberized thong. And then you got a tennis ball that has a kind of a ball gag theme to it. You know, it's, how about guys playing tennis with ball gags in their mouths? So there you go, Phil. You take this perfectly acceptable and rather lovely outfit that Serena Williams was wearing, and you go to ball gags. That's terrific. I wonder if they could play tennis handcuffed. That was the whole thing. It was on the front page of the paper today. Is the U.S. Open? Is that what it is? The U.S. Open. And did they already have Wimbledon, or did they not have that? And have they had Australia? I don't know what any of this stuff is. When I lived in Miami, they had the Lipton thing. I think that's what it's Lipton. And the Virginia Slims. Did they do that? Good God, man. Thank God for the sponsorship money. There would be none of these tournaments. The Lipton Cup and the Virginia Slim Open, right? And what else? So, tennis to me is a game that I always felt had a very wealthy rhythm to it, which I know is not true, because I'm sure there've got to be some poor people that play tennis. There must be somewhere. But I just never liked it, because for me it was it didn't look masculine, okay? All right? It didn't look masculine. The game has never looked masculine to me. At its very best, it's looked pouty and petulant and silver spoon-esque. And when men play each other in tennis, it's almost like the tension one feels between guys that are really attracted to each other. I half expect that when they jump the net to embrace and kiss. I just never felt it was a very masculine athletic pursuit, all right? There I said it. But I said it last week, too. However, the older a tennis player gets, the more I like the guy. Like McEnroe, all of a sudden he seems like he's butch. Back then he just looked like somebody's biatch. Anyway, you know, curly-headed little guy. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, the number. So check out the sports page today. Look at Serena's outfit if you want. And then, well, you know, and then look at the mud wrestling ads on page 3. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, David, what?
All right, you ready to do it?
To do what?
To do Bud's brain teasers. I told you about this.
I thought we said in the prep meeting that...
No, we didn't say Jack. You're doing Bud's brain teasers. That's all there is to it. Now do it. Is Bud there?
Right here, Mr. Hall.
We said in the meeting...
We didn't say anything.
Yes, we did. We said in the meeting we were not going to do Bud's brain teasers because it had no context. It was a silly idea. And just to prove that because Bud, who is mentally brain damaged from his motorcycle accident, could do brain teasers is not enough to give reason for this, all right?
No, it makes Bud, who's a retard, you know, he looks good. And so all retards look good.
Oh, that's great. That's a nice way of putting it.
Just do it. Do it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Bud's brain teasers.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bud Dickman. Okay, Phil, are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Mr. Hall, he doesn't sound enthusiastic.
Do it better.
And now, everybody, it's time for Bud's brain teasers.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bud Dickman. Phil, are you ready?
You bet, Bud.
Okay, here's your first question. You're driving a bus. At the first stop, 6 people get on. At the next stop, 4 people get off. At the next stop, 10 people get on and 3 people get off. At the next stop, 61 people get on and 64...
Wait a minute! Slow down, will you?
Right.
All right, the first stop, 6 get on, and the next stop, 4 get off, and the next stop, 10 get on, and 3 get off. The next stop, 61 get on.
61 get on.
And how many get off?
42'd.
How many?
41.
Well, is it 42 or 41?
43.
Then what?
At the next stop, 9 get off and 9 get on.
At the next stop, 9 get off and 9 get on.
Right.
Okay.
Who's driving the bus?
What are you talking about?
Who's driving the bus?
This is supposed to be...
Will you let the retard do it?
Who's driving the bus?
Yeah.
Okay, at the first stop, 6 got on, next 4 stop, 10, 3... Who's driving the bus? I don't know. Who's driving the bus?
You are, you idiot. I said, you're driving a bus. And
oh, Jesus.
Man, what an idiot. You didn't see that one coming? All right, question number 2, bud.
Okay. A plane crashes and...
Can I interrupt for just a second?
What?
Is this designed to make me look like a moron?
What are you talking about? He said you're driving a bus. 10 get off, 6 get on, 53 get off, whatever the hell he said. Who's driving the bus? You are.
There's a brain teaser.
That ain't a brain teaser. It's a trick question.
All right, here's the next question. A plane crashes on the border of Arizona and California. Where do you bury the survivors?
Okay, so the plane crashed where?
On the border of Arizona and California. Where do you bury a survivor?
Where do you bury the survivors? A plane crashes on the border of California and Arizona. Which direction was it going in?
North. Actually, it's going down. That's the direction it was going in.
Okay, that's very funny.
What direction?
I'm trying to figure out, all right?
It's going straight into the desert. While you're waiting, can I just... A plane crashes on the border of Arizona and California. Where do you bury the survivors?
Come on, Phil, you know this one.
You'd bury them in California.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Because I'm thinking that the plane was leaving Arizona and was on its way to California.
Tell him the answer, bud.
You don't bury survivors, you turd.
Jeez, that's number 2 you couldn't get. Let me ask you something, Phil.
What?
Are you sure it was Bud who had the accident? You're pretty slow today. Maybe we should call you Tard Henry. But make a note, have the show stationary change to the Slappy the Tard Show.
You got it, Mr. Hall. Why you look at me like that?
Because it's a trick question, that's why.
What an idiot. What do you mean it's a trick question? You don't bury survivors, you idiot.
Ask me another one.
You sure? I don't want to put you in any more embarrassment you've already lived through.
Ask me another one.
Go ahead, bud. Ask him another one. Give him a chance to redeem himself.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready for you this time.
All right. A father and a son go fishing. And then a son gets hurt and the father has to take him to the emergency room. The doctor in the emergency room comes out and says, "Oh my God, my son's hurt." Who's the doctor?
Yeah, who's the doctor, Phil?
I'm thinking, okay? Give it to me again.
A father and a son go fishing. The son gets hurt.
How did he get hurt?
What difference does it make?
Doesn't make any difference, Tard.
Okay, we're not going any... Killing me. We're not going any further. You call me that again.
But you act like such a retard.
Hey, bud, give Slappy an easy one, okay? Like, what's 1 + 1?
Don't worry, I'll get it.
All right, here it is. A father and a son go fishing. The son gets hurt.
How did he get hurt?
He got a hook in his butt. Who knows?
I take it it doesn't... It's not...
It's not relevant.
Not relevant. The son gets hurt and gets taken to the hospital. The emergency room doctor comes out and goes, "Oh, it's my son." Okay?
Who's the doctor?
Who's the doctor?
It's the father.
No, you idiot. Well, don't call me an idiot. Well, he's the duck. He was fishing with his kid.
The duck. The father was fishing with the kid. Okay, so how can he also be the doctor in the emergency room?
Then he took him to the emergency room and he put on his doctor costume.
Hey, David. He took him to the emergency room and put on his doctor costume. Hey, Phil.
What?
Spell your name.
H-E-N-D-R-I-E.
Wrong. Y-O-U-R-N-A-M-E.
What an idiot!
Are you looking pissed off?
You bet. All right, okay, so the father takes the son fishing, the kid gets hurt, takes him to the emergency room, and the doctor comes out and says, it's my son. I don't know the answer.
You said this be one you get.
I don't know the answer.
His mother is the doctor, you sexist jackass.
What is it with you, Henry? The mother's the doctor.
Oh, the mother.
Oh, the mother.
You didn't think a woman could be a doctor on account of you sexist.
Yeah, what's with you? Couldn't a mother be a doctor?
Of course the mother could be a doctor.
Then why didn't you think of it?
Yeah, why did you think of it?
I don't know!
Hey, bud, better wipe Slappy's mouth. Those bikes are drool-proof. What a
tard. Yeah, har-har.
This has been Bud's Brain Twisters.
Join us next week when Henry says like a jackass again.
Spell your name. All right. I don't know why I didn't know that the mother could be the doctor.
Don't forget it. Slappy the Tard Show. Stay out with that.
Yeah.
Mr. Hall said.
I don't want to do any more of these games if I'm going to look like an idiot, you know.
Looks like you better not do any more then.
You can leave now, man.
Hey.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You listen to the Phil Hendry Show.
Slappy the Tard.
Slappy the Tard Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
You know, the story of this guy, Ward Weaver, in Oregon. Have you heard about him? He's the latest in a long line of scumbags and mental defectives and space cadets and these gothic horror creatures that have risen from the sludge to perpetrate any manner of mayhem and horror on people. This is a guy who raped and murdered two girls in Oregon, and they have just now found the remains of the second girl, Ashley Pond, on his property. Now, this guy is, as I said, another in a long line of them. Who can you remember their names? What's the name of the last guy? Oh, Westerfield. I almost forgot. What about the guy before him? Avila? Is that what? The man who murdered that child, Samantha Runyon. You remember his name? Who else? Who was the guy that abducted those two girls and the Kern County Sheriff, in a display of expert police work, greased him up there in Kern County, in North Kern County? What was his name? Radcliffe. And how about this guy, Stainer, from Yosemite who murdered that mother and her daughter and the friend. If ever a guy deserved to a nonstop ticket to the death house, that guy does. All of them do, but Stainer especially, because he's a serial murderer. This is a guy who is on his way to perpetrating many crimes, many murders. And all of them have one thing in common. They, to me, become a mind-numbing procession of fiends that, after a while, you want to block from your consciousness, don't you? Because what more can you say about them? What are you going to say?
To put them in the gas chamber.
I get it already. We'll put them in the gas chamber. Okay.
Got to put them in the gas chamber. We got to catch these guys and put them away before they commit a crime.
Well, some of these guys never committed any crimes before they did what they did. Westerfield never committed any crime before he did what he did. As far as I know, this Stainer guy, he murdered that Yosemite forest worker after he murdered those three women. This guy, Avila, okay, you got a case there. They love to jump on the little stories like, well, this guy Avila, see, he molested the girl. Well, look at, who are you kidding? A lot of these guys have never killed anybody before they did what they did. So here's what happens to most people when they consume this news about the Westerfields and about the Weavers and about the Avilas and about the Radcliffes and all of these guys, Bundys and Ramirez's, and oh my God, the list goes on and on and on. Who was the guy in Chicago who used to draw the pictures of clown? John Wayne Gacy. And it just never ends. The mind begins to numb. Your perception begins to numb out. Your consciousness begins to numb out on them. And after a while, all the brain cells shut down until the only ones left functioning are the ones that say, just put them in the gas chamber, put them in the gas chamber, put them in the gas chamber. And there is no... Now, I know what you're saying. Oh, well, you think we shouldn't, Phil? Of course I think we should. But here's what I say, and this is not the first time that I've said it. Sooner or later... Maybe later, knowing my country the way I know my country, it'll probably be much later. Sooner or later, we've got to look into why these individuals are created in the first place, how they're created in the first place, and then you got to do something about it. Either you lock them up in a cage when they're three, you check out their DNA and you put it on file with every single cop agency in the United States, you put them through some kind of intensive therapy that we have yet to figure out what is that. How do you even begin to keep a serial murderer from being produced or created? And you may say to me, it's an impossibility. Well, I say you're full of crap. You don't know it's an impossibility any more than some people didn't think it was possible to go to the moon. You don't know it's a possibility. You know full well that if we put our minds to beginning to understand brain chemistry and brain function, we can figure out how these guys get made. Now, it may sound real superficial and futuristic and sci-fi stuff, but we got to do it sooner than later. Or would you like to see more kids killed? You want to see more people getting raped, more women getting dragged into cars, more serial murders? These guys, and here locally, I can't even begin to tell you, here in California, up where I live, they've popped at least two serial rapists in the last couple of months. One of them was getting into these gated communities in Simi Valley. I mean, he was getting in behind the gates. Now, what do you want to sit here and jawjack this forever? You want to sit and listen to every single gas-bagging, jawjacking, bullcrap talk show host talk about how we need harder penalties? Come on. Somebody out there needs a nap. Yeah, harder penalty. Well, how much? I know. Let's put them away for 800 years instead of 500. You remember this kid down here in San Diego? What was that kid's name? The one that shot up the school. The families came in and argued for the maximum penalty of 456 years. I understand. I understand their grief. I understand their pain. And by God, they didn't get what they wanted. The kid's only going to be in for 50 years to life. That's what a screw job. We are so overwhelmed in this society with so many different problems that we numb out. We would rather flip on 80 Seconds to Fame or American Idol. We'd rather check out Fear Factor. We can't deal with it anymore. We can't deal with it anymore. Our solution is to simply put a gun to the head of these guys and grease them, which I say is a wonderful solution. I'm entirely in favor of it, although I'd like to do it before they rape somebody and murder someone, not after. Now, you can figure these things out. I'm telling you, it is a matter of biochemistry and physiognomy and physical anatomy and psychology. And when are we going to start doing this? When are we going to start doing it? I'm curious. Do I sound like some liberal rehabilitation nut? No, I'm saying Anybody that disagrees with me has got to be mentally diseased themselves. I'm saying, go ahead, put them in a gas chamber. I could care less. But I don't want them to go out and commit the crime in the first place.
Well, you can't do anything about that, Phil. Bull crap.
I say, yes, you can. I say that they're down the road somewhere. We can begin to identify these people before they commit the crime. And if it sounds like Minority Report, well, gee, that's just too bad. Let me tell you something. Everybody said, well, Minority Report, that's a reflection of Big Brother in the future and the, you know, arresting a man before he even commits a crime. Let me ask you a question. If you detain a juvenile for a juvenile offense, aren't you also doing that to keep that kid from committing crimes in the future? Aren't you incarcerating that kid now so that he learns a lesson in the future that he won't commit a crime? We already do it. If somebody exhibits tendencies toward being a sociopathic serial murderer, then what's wrong with having this person either checked out or treated or otherwise analyzed to make sure or to find out how we can stop him from doing, you know, what he most likely will do? They know that serial murderers have that homicidal triangle I was telling you about, the bedwetting and the, what was it, Janice? The bedwetting, the animal abuse, and the arson, and then there was one more. Yeah, if he's got a loud wife. So those four things, arson, bedwetting, animal abuse, and if his wife won't shut up, then I'm joking. Then I'm a serial murderer. No, seriously. You can do something about it. Otherwise, I refuse to, and by the way, Elizabeth Smart, do we remember this name? Everybody was all, you know, hot and bothered about that not too long ago. That young girl's name is, well, it's in the file with Chandra Levy's. So, this is going to keep on going. We're going to have, you know, names of serial killers, more victims, more people missing, more little children. And you can, you know, you get more cops in the street if you want to. And you can put these guys in the gas chamber, which I am entirely in favor of. And you can beat the crap out of them once they do it. And you can keep an eye on your kids. But we got to, you know, figure out how these guys are getting created. What the hell is this guy? This guy Weaver, you talk about telltale signs. This guy's a walking disaster case. His father is a freaking murderer. He comes from some family of mental deficiency that I can't even begin to imagine. Probably some, you know, like something out of a, you know, what's his mother, a witch queen out of a freaking swamp someplace? His grandma was rolling the bones over graves somewhere. I mean, he's just a mess. So you can figure it out if you want to. The kid, on the other hand, the son, his name's Francis Weaver, he has his head together. He can't even imagine that his old man would commit these crimes. He thinks it's disgusting. He thinks they ought to stick the guy in Sparky as soon as possible. Otherwise, if they don't do anything about it, we're all doomed to flipping on the radio in the afternoon and hearing, see, this guy, he was released, and he should have been in prison, and they should have done something, and they should have done... What are they going to do? They should have done something. Yeah, they should have figured out in the first place how these guys are made. If we can go to the moon, if we can split the atom... If we can create a bunker buster and plasma rifles and things that, man, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a plasma rifle until I found out there was such a thing as a plasma rifle. What is that? It dries up the plasma in your body? It shoots blood? I don't know. You know, if we can do all of that, we can do that. So there you go. Going to take out Saddam. Screw him. I say we get to work on this. Saddam can wait. Not long, though. After this, then him. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, from yesterday's show, Doug Danger, our entertainment writer from the Orange County Courier, was on to say that American Idol is making a big mistake by allowing the viewers to vote on the acts. Only critics, qualified critics who actually know music and actually know the arts, should be allowed to vote. It's a travesty that you let all these popcorn eaters do it. By the way, Doug is quick to remind everybody he talks to that he's a gay man and a gay journalist.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm really lost here. I have absolutely no clue what his being a gay man and a gay journalist has to do with the quality of his criticisms or his reporting has to do. I've been a journalist for 10 years.
Are you homophobic?
Hell no. Are you kidding? My roommate's gay. My uncle's gay, and he's my best friend.
What does your roommate do for a living?
He's an interior designer.
All right.
That matters.
He's a gay interior designer.
So?
Well,
I'm a straight reporter. So what?
Are you proud of being
straight? That has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not I'm any good at what I do or any good at what he does. My mother's an interior designer, and she's straight.
See, Phil, if I could
say, has no bearing on whether or not she's good.
See, this lady is a good example of the general public. She just said, I don't have any clue. Okay?
No, she didn't. She's asking...
Hey, is your name Eve, by the way?
Yes, sir.
Hey, don't eat from that forbidden tree.
No, you don't eat from the forbidden tree.
Look,
if you'd know your Bible stories a little bit better, you'd understand that.
You are homophobic. I knew it.
You're not homophobic.
Yeah. Then what are you bringing up the
Bible? How do you know that I'm not gay?
Because you just said you're straight.
How do you know that I haven't been with women?
You'd have to send a photograph or some film.
How do you know that?
I don't believe you, but if you can send me videotape of that.
You are a very sick individual, and
I can't believe
your editors have kept you on as long as you have.
Okay, go ahead and say it, Eve. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You've been wanting to say that, haven't you? Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. If you say you're a lesbian...
So what does that have to do with the quality of your writing, of your criticism?
Nothing.
Exactly, so quit mentioning it. Give it up.
I'm proud of who I am. I worked hard to be gay.
Proud of what?
I'm proud of
who I am.
Are you a lesbian?
I'm short. Do you see me saying I'm a short reporter?
Well,
I'm 5'2" tall, and that makes me the best reporter in Monterey County.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I don't want to offend you. Do you eat your lunch in Box Canyon, or don't you?
And what?
Do you eat your lunch in Box Canyon?
What the hell is Box Canyon?
Okay, she's not a lesbian.
What do you mean, eat your lunch in Box Canyon?
Look, I've been out of the closet for 8 months, Steve, so I've been down some tough roads. I've seen the way people treat gay men and gay journalists. Are you gay?
We've all been down some tough roads. It doesn't mean we hang out...
Being straight is easy.
Everything.
Being gay
can be easy, too.
No,
Anything can be easy.
Being gay is hard, if you get my drift. And many of the people out there... who don't want me to be gay, I'm going to be gay despite what they want.
What has this got to do with American Idol?
You're using it as a hammer to slam people over the head and intimidate them.
You know what, ma'am,
and
I don't mean any offense.
From what you do for a living.
I don't mean any offense.
And from what your work is.
I don't mean any offense. May I talk to your gay roommate? Because I'm not making any
No, you're not talking to my gay roommate.
Why
you're not?
Not
talking to my probably gay dog or my gay kittens or my gay hamster or my gay fish or my gay bird.
I need to talk to somebody who's making sense because you're not making any sense. I need to talk
Mister,
to someone
you need
gay.
To go to a shrink.
All right, wait a minute. Eve, you're a journalist, right?
Yes.
All right, can't she say she's a straight journalist?
No.
Why not?
That's nothing you're proud of. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I am proud of that.
But why can't I be proud of being straight?
Well, you can't.
Because that's not politically correct,
right? Because it's not all that interesting.
Being gay is interesting that you're gay?
Yes, ma'am.
Where have you been?
It's not all that fascinating
to see gay people anymore.
Are you a film critic, or what kind of a journalist are you?
I'm a reporter.
All right, so you're not a critic.
I cover crime, I cover youth issues, I cover mental health issues, and you would be a great study for that.
You think I'm nuts because I'm gay. Once again, you're nuts because you're using it as a tool
to get sympathy and to get a lot more than you deserve.
But here's what I want to find out, and then we'll let you go, Eve.
Look, it's typical straight woman, scatterbrained, homophobic, and crazy.
That's very much a general statement.
I am not homophobic.
Homophobic, scatterbrained, and crazy. You could say you're a bi woman and a bi journalist when you get the guts, because you said you ate your lunch at Box Canyon. Now you say you don't.
I don't even know what Box Canyon was. Is.
Do you eat a box lunch?
Whatever will be.
Do you eat a box lunch?
Will you speak English, please?
All right, I think I made my point.
You didn't make any point. Nobody's talking about.
You eat sausage or taco?
Okay, look. Eve, thank you very much for your call.
What? Mr. Henry, why did you bring this Yahoo on the air?
My name is Doug.
Well, he's done a lot of film critique for us on the air over the...
Phil, I can do it.
I certainly hope you cancel him.
I'm Doug Danger.
He's dreadful.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
And you are absolutely dreadful. And any recommendation for a film you would make,
oh, really? So
I would
think...
definitely go the opposite way.
Okay, you don't think Titanic was any good?
No, actually, I don't.
You gotta be nuts. You're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Okay, did you
because
like...
Because I have some class and intelligence.
Did you like Chocolate?
It was okay.
Okay, see, I like that one, too. See, so you go along with what I think.
Oh, boy, you're
no.
Really,
what
you're
you
nuts.
Do is you mirror what somebody says. Somebody, you ask if somebody likes something.
Would you please leave
then
your number?
Then you say,
with
the, okay,
your,
I like okay, it too.
Please leave your number with the screener so I can call your roommate.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Could I talk to your gay roommate because you're not making any sense? Yes, Doug Danger, a gay man and a gay journalist. He's out of sight. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Las Vegas is the place at the end of September. We're going to get a bunch of people, get a crowd of people, get a Woodstock, get like a Nuremberg rally of people. Nuremberg rally, that is. You know what I mean. A whole lot of people to go down to Vegas with us on September 27th through the 29th, because we're going to have our first ever Phil Hendry Show live at the Luxor Las Vegas party. Now, the weekend kicks off on Friday the 27th with a happy hour. We'll do a live broadcast, and we'll have a Blues and Brews party on Saturday night. And the whole thing is only $348, which includes tickets to the VIP parties, two tickets to King Tut's Museum, two passes to the Oasis Spa, and, of course, Friday and Saturday night lodgings at the beautiful Luxor in Las Vegas, and both parties at the Raw Nightclub in the Luxor, which is just a solid, solid place to party. So call this number, 1-800-288-1000, 1-800-288-1000. Ask for the Phil Hendry Package, 1-800-288-1000. That's the Phil Hendry Package for the Luxor in September.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Matter of fact, Ted, we're supposed to run a commercial for you here. I'll make it up for you. But I'm sorry to hear that you couldn't cater my birthday party on Saturday night.
That's right, Bill. I am too, but I've got plans this weekend and wanted to mention to you that I'm going away for the weekend with a young woman. You know, Patty and I are separated.
But you're not divorced.
No, we're not. But I do have the chance before school starts to go away with a young lady for the weekend.
A young woman. Is she a teacher or what?
I want you to promise me that you're not going to judge me on this because, and I let the audience know, Phil and I have been friends for the last 15 years.
Who is this young lady?
I would like you to promise me that you're not going to judge me on this because...
All right, I promise.
She is the 16-year-old daughter of our night chef at the restaurant. She's very mature.
Boy, Ted.
No, she's very mature. She looks... you said to me that you wouldn't judge me, all right?
The 16-year-old daughter, you had better run, not walk, from that situation. You know that you're separated from your wife, and I know that you're 42 years old, and I know that a lot of things happen to guys at that age. You don't go away with a 16-year-old girl.
I said, Bill, that she is the... First of all, you're judging me based on...
Ted, don't do it. Okay? Have you been intimate with this girl?
No, we are very good friends.
You know you're playing with dynamite.
Let me explain something to you, and I'll explain it to your audience if you don't know this, and of course you do know it. I'm Ted Bell. I own Ted's Beverly Hills Steakhouse, one of the most successful steakhouses in the country. I don't follow the rules. I make the rules. Now, I want to know something from you, Phil.
She's 16, man. 16. Does her father know?
Before I start answering all your questions, I want you to know that I think that I have a very great friendship with this girl, and I have nothing but the highest level of respect.
She's a kid, you idiot.
She likes me a lot. She has a great deal of respect for me. We spend many afternoons at the restaurant talking, and I can see she wants out of this lower middle class life that she has, and I am a man of means. I've got a comfort level. We're very good friends. We talk about things in the news. I'm Ted Bell. You don't call me an idiot. Now, I had a great deal of respect for the girl, and we're just good friends.
She's 16. You'll go to jail. You'll be arrested. Don't you know it's open season on this kind of crap?
She doesn't act like a kid. She acts like she's 24. She looks 24. And open season on what? You're not allowed to have a good friend?
What father or mother is going to give permission for their 16-year-old daughter to go away for the weekend with a 42-year-old man? And I'm really sorry that you've chosen my radio show to spill all of this.
Well, I didn't choose your radio show to be assaulted the way you're assaulting me, Mr. Henry, and I didn't choose your radio show to be humiliated.
Oh, come on.
And I didn't choose your radio show to have an individual that I consider a friend to judge me.
What father or mother is going to give permission for the 16-year-old daughter to go away for the weekend with a 42-year-old man?
I'm Ted Bell. I make rules. I don't follow rules. One of the things you have to understand, Phil, is that I think her father, who is a wonderful guy, is going to give his consent.
Why would a father give consent for that?
The guy works for me. I don't think he's going to grow an unusually large pair of balls knowing he might not be walking into his job on Monday.
Oh, that's great. So you're going to fire this guy if he can't go out with his daughter?
I didn't say that.
Well, you said something like it. You said the guy's not going to grow a big pair of balls knowing he's going to lose his job.
He understands that we're just good friends.
So you'd fire this guy so he can spend the weekend with this girl?
I said we're good friends. You better watch it, Phil. You're talking to Ted Bell. I'm Ted Bell. I own Ted's of Beverly Hills.
I know you're Ted Bell. I know you own Ted's of Beverly Hills. How long have I known you?
About 15 years.
Don't you think I know you're Ted Bell and that you own Ted's of Beverly Hills?
I'm Ted Bell. I don't follow the rules. Look, it's much better for her to have a friend like me who's a successful businessman rather than some horny 16-year-old boy just wants to get in her pants.
Okay, so you just want to be good friends with a 16-year-old girl, knowing that, as I said, it's open season on this kind of crap. They're arresting people everywhere for this kind of crap.
Phil, we're going away for a couple of days. We're going to go hiking. I'm going to take her shopping. She can get her hair done.
So you don't think you're going to be intimate with her?
We're just going to talk about things.
All right, let me get this right. You're spending Friday and Saturday night?
Friday and Saturday night. We're going to probably go up to Big Sur.
And Friday night and Saturday night, you guys will just talk?
We're good. Absolutely. I feel free with Kelly. I can talk to her about things.
Hold the line here. 1-800-449-8686. I was going to talk to Ted about his restaurant, and he's telling me he's going away for the weekend with a 16-year-old girl. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show as I talk to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
You don't understand something, Phil. I'm Ted Bell.
What are you going to stop saying that?
But you don't. I'm Ted Bell. I'm not Phil Henry. I'm Ted Bell, Theodore Bell, the son of William and Mary Bell, Palos Verdes, California. I had a father who drank up the profits from Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, and I brought that restaurant back from the sewer. And now a word from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Oh, that's swell.
Well, you just forgot to do the commercial.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I want to choose this opportunity to let all of you know I'm going to be spending the weekend with a 16-year-old girl. I'm not going to have sex with her. We're very good friends, and I really resent Mr. Henry's filthy mind.
You took that, you know how much commercials cut? You took that time to impugn me, huh, for your commercial.
You better believe it, because you're impugning me. Now, we're going to talk about things. Phil, the media has got you thinking that I'm automatically going to be interested in one thing when, in fact, she's very intelligent. We have a lot in common.
Like what?
Phil, Kelly, in many ways, is older than me. She knows worlds I can never hope to touch.
What are you talking about?
I didn't know about Shakira or Matchbox 20 or 80 Seconds to Fame or Lizzie McGuire, any of that. Until I met Kelly, she's opened my eyes to a world of possibilities. Instead of just being tied to a restaurant.
Well, she's 16 years old, and what are you going to learn from her? You're going to be ruined.
Phil, not too many guys have the luxury of saying the following words, and I'm going to say them, and I know you don't want me to say them.
I'm Ted Bell.
I am Ted Bell. And I'd like to meet the cop that would dare put handcuffs on me. You know why? Because I could have his job.
So no cop is going to arrest you. Her father won't say anything. You'll just go away for the weekend with this girl, and all you'll do is talk. What's she going to get out of it?
What's she going to get out
of it? Yeah, what is she going to get out of it?
Few young girls have the opportunity to spend some time with a man of position, wealth, influence, and power. She'll soak it up. Plus, I'll buy her things that 16-year-old girls like.
Well, what do they like? I'd like to know what do you think 16-year-olds like?
You know, you can get a ring with a glass, you know, a shiny glass in it, or a one of those Hello Kitty purses, or Britney Spears jeans, or whatever. That'll shut her up. You don't tell Ted Bell that he can't go away with a 16-year-old for the weekend to sleep with her. And I'm not going to do that.
No sex.
No sex.
You're just going away with a 16-year-old girl for the weekend.
She knows worlds I can't even hope to touch.
Oh, she's a real brain surgeon, huh? She's like your guru?
In many ways, Kelly is. In many ways, she's touched the innocence of life. I've been head by head so much in business.
And you're going to talk and hike.
Talk and hike. We'll fish. Go into town, look at art. She really admires me, and a man needs that, Phil. I need admiration. My wife stopped doing that. My wife, Patty, became blasé. She became blasé about all the things that I could do for her. We got a 10,000-square-foot home in Beverly Hills, and my wife just sort of gets up in the morning and goes, oh, here's my 10,000-square-foot home. Kelly, on the other hand, appreciates the fact I drive a candy apple red BMW. The fact that I play tennis with the best of them, I'm 42 years of age, I can whip guys half my age. You know, I just, it's exciting. I'm Ted Bell.
You're really full of yourself, aren't you, Ted?
No, I just happen to know what I'm capable of. I gotta get back out in the restaurant here.
And what are you capable of, Ted? Are you capable of spending the weekend with a 16-year-old without getting arrested, without having her father take a meat cleaver to you? You know, these are all things that you have to think about.
Her father works for me. Get it? No father who works for a guy would dare say anything to a man if he wants to take his daughter out. Let's take you, for instance. You got a 10-year-old daughter, right?
Yeah.
When she becomes 16, if your boss wants to take her out, you're going to say no?
Yeah.
Goodbye job. Goodbye job. Kelly appreciates the little things in life. It's just refreshing.
Oh, I you know what? Now I've gone from being outraged, I'm nauseated.
Well, be nauseated, okay? Maybe you don't know what friendship truly is. Kelly understands me.
Jesus, Ted, you've lost your freaking mind. This guy is 42 years of age. He's going out the weekend with a 16-year-old, the 16-year-old daughter of his chef. And I like what he said. No cop around would dare touch him because he's Ted Bell. I'm curious if there are parents out there that would allow their 16-year-old daughters to go out with a much older man if they knew there would be no sex involved. Is that basically what you're saying, Ted?
That is what I'm saying. There is no sex involved.
You're just going to spend the weekend with her.
Absolutely.
All right, hold on. I suppose it isn't that. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I would do. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-86- What?
I think maybe the reason you don't have a 16-year-old friend is because you're prejudiced.
Prejudiced against what?
Against young people. I like young people. I love the vitality that they bring to my life.
1-800-449-8686. So Ted Bell will spend the weekend with the 16-year-old daughter of the chef that works for him. There'll be absolutely no sex involved, and he doesn't see what the big deal is. I just told him it's open season on this. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
But I'm in the process of giving her father a raise.
All right, hold on. Ted Bell is with us, owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. You're taking a 16-year-old girl, spending the weekend with her. You say you're not going to have sex with her, and you're going to give her father a raise.
He was due for a raise anyway, Phil.
Well, it doesn't sound a little, you know what I'm saying? In other words, coincidental?
I'm insulted. The man was due for a raise anyway.
All right, we'll be right back with your phone calls, 1-800-449-8686. First, this from Ted's.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I don't really want to promote my restaurant. I'm Ted Bell. I created a great restaurant, and I have a very dear friend now on a radio station calling me a pervert. I hope you go to hell, Phil.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So you used the occasion of a very expensive commercial to insult me.
I think you, by you calling me a pervert, I think you go beyond the bounds of good taste as a friend. You're not even giving me my money's worth for that commercial.
You're the guy that was talking over it.
Because you have insulted me.
1-800-449-8686. Lee, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I just wonder if this man, Mr. Bell, is so great, but Ted Bell, I don't know who he is. I've never heard of him. But where's his integrity as a man and as a business owner? I'm a parent. My husband is a parent. We have a 10-year-old. We have a 21-year-old daughter. And
do you have
we
a 10-year-old,
own a business.
You have a 10-year-old daughter?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we have a 21-year-old daughter, and we own a business.
Yes, ma'am.
But there would be no way in the world either one of those girls would be with a man like this.
But I am not going to do anything other than be a friend to her. We're going to spend a wonderful weekend picking out clothing, getting her hair done, hiking.
Sir, my daughter goes hiking.
Yes.
She goes to Alaska for the summer.
That's
and we own a business, and I certainly would not ever, or my husband would never, use our business as manipulation of people.
I'm not manipulating anybody.
You said you're going to give the father a raise.
I did not say I've... No, wait a minute. I didn't say I gave him a raise if I could go out with his daughter.
Well, it just so happens that he's getting his raise right around the time that you'll be spending the weekend with his daughter.
You have impugned me for the... Mr. Hendry has called me... basically, you're calling me a child molester.
Sir, you sound like one on the radio.
Ma'am, I am not having sex. You went to Alaska?
My daughter just went to Alaska for the whole summer.
You know something? Let's say something, Lee. Alaska is a beautiful and a very romantic place. Let's say, and I'm not saying this will happen, but let's say I was with your daughter in Alaska. I would treat her like a lady. I would, you say, she's 21 though, right?
She's 21, and sir, there's
okay.
No way my daughter would even go out with somebody who would get on a radio station claiming that he's some big Ted Bell man, that he owns Ted Bell's Steakhouse.
Well, ma'am, I own Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm Ted Bell, and you have
you
to
know,
understand
what
that
really
means.
You know, I don't really care, sir. We own
well,
a company
right.
that makes a lot of money.
Okay, that's fine.
But I don't go around going, hey, I'm Leah Jones, and
well,
I make the rules. You don't make the rules.
You
and
make
I'm
balloons?
Sorry, the police can't
She doesn't
arrest
make
you.
Balloons. She makes the rules.
I open doors for women. I pull out their chairs. I kiss their hands.
That's,
I open the
wonderful.
Car door.
That's wonderful, but you should do it with somebody that's age-appropriate, not a child.
Kelly, even though she's 16, she knows whole solar systems
no,
that I don't
I'm,
know.
No, I'm sorry,
she's
sir.
She's so much older
sorry,
than me.
I'm sorry, sir. There are not solar systems that she knows,
she's
okay?
She's an old soul.
She's 16. You're 42. You got money.
Exactly,
that's what she
Ted.
Sees.
See, yeah, she sees you with having a lot of jack. She's all impressed with you having bread.
She
that's
likes,
right.
She likes being with me. And my wife takes it all for granted. My wife is going on the Paul Gauguin cruise to Tahiti in about 3 months. You think that's a big deal to her? Oh, big deal. She could care less. When I said to Kelly that I might take her on the Paul Gauguin cruise for a week, she loved it.
What do you mean for a week?
I may just keep her for the week.
If you take anybody, you could ask a 30-year-old woman that has a brain and an adult mind, and she would probably be thrilled. Just because your wife has taken advantage of the way you've treated her doesn't mean that all women are that way. But what you're talking about is a child.
Lee,
number one,
Lee,
sir,
Kelly,
it is against the
Lee,
law.
Kelly is my spiritual teacher.
No,
she has taught
she's
me
a
how
child.
To find the center.
She's a 16-year-old kid. You've what is the word? You've idolatrized her? You've the...
Boy, I don't
Bell,
think that is a word.
If you want right, a spiritual leader, you need to call Cleo. Because
oh,
this
ha,
is a 16-year-old child.
Getting in a little cutie there, huh? Getting in
this
a little joke?
This is a 16-year-old child.
She is not a child. She has the body and the looks of a 20...
It is against the law
then
for
why
you
does
to take
she,
company with
she
her.
She is built like a 24-year-old.
I don't care. She's built like...
She also
know,
has her driver's license.
Well,
I
wonderful.
Say,
she can drive.
I just want to ask you a question.
After 9 o'clock at night?
All right. I just want to ask you a question. In Tahiti, she can drive after 9 o'clock at night, yes.
Well, isn't that nice? But you're only taking her for a weekend.
All right, I want to ask Lee a question. You say you have a 10-year-old, right?
Yes.
I don't want you to take this the wrong way. Can you tell me how tall she is?
No.
Oh, so in other words...
Yeah, in other words, maybe she just doesn't want
to... So I'm a pervert. I haven't said anything to either one of you. Look, Kelly is... She hit puberty at a very early age, and she is built. Yeah, very funny, huh?
Yeah, really funny. You know, my
Lee,
son
can I ask you, is your daughter
puberty in... at a very early age and fathered a child. It did not make him an adult.
How old is he?
He's 17. Now he's 19.
Lee,
now he has a child.
Is your daughter in the drill team?
My daughter,
the
my
10-year-old.
10-year-old goes to cheerleader camp. She's
okay.
a child.
So she's learning. Nice. That's great. That's
What has that got to do with it?
Oh, nothing.
Okay, look, Lee, thank you for your call. You're giving me the creeps with some of these things you're saying. Bob, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
What is this? This guy, he's a total moron.
I'm a moron.
Yeah.
Why? Because I happen to...
He thinks just because he's somebody else's boss he think that he wasn't looking for a job when he found that one?
Sir, I'm Ted Bell. I don't know if you know who I am.
I don't know who you are.
I beg your pardon?
What, is that supposed to be impressing me?
I own Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. I'm worth probably $50 to $75 million. I think that Kelly, what's wrong with me dating a 16-year-old if I don't lay a hand on her?
Well, it's like this.
Are you a father?
Stiff britches ain't got no conscience. That's what I'm talking
about.
Wait
a minute, I've got plenty.
Okay, you're saying that you want to take a 16-year-old out. You gonna let her father go with you? You gonna let him be a...
No, because Kelly and I share a special bond. He'd only get in the way. Now, let me tell you something. Kelly shaves her legs. My wife never did.
Well,
right there shows respect.
Sounds like he was married to a gorilla, you know? I mean...
Well, it's, you know, maybe.
You know...
You have a daughter?
Do
you have a daughter?
Wouldn't you like to know? You're a real pervert.
I'm a pervert, huh? All I ask you...
Yeah, well, now you're worse than a pervert.
Let me tell you, if she looks the way you sound, don't have much interest, but...
Okay, that's great.
Well, I tell you what, you're saying that...
Eat corn on the cob at arm's length through a chain-link fence?
Boy.
What a jerk.
Yeah, you're 1-800-4-
I'm an a-hole.
Yes. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills. He's a steakhouse owner. He's going away for the weekend with a 16-year-old girl who he says is just a good friend of his. What do you think? Would you let your daughter? 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You had no right to say what you said.
I didn't. Your commercial's on right now.
I don't give a sweet damn if my commercial's on. You call me a pervert in front of everybody in your listening audience. You know I'm just friends with this girl.
I don't know that you... Okay, so you're friends with a girl. I'm saying that it's... Your commercial's running right now.
I don't care. I want you to apologize.
All right, I'm sorry I said what I said, but you're blowing hundreds of dollars here with this commercial.
What?
Your commercial.
It doesn't make any difference. I'm Ted Bell. They know where my restaurant is, but let me tell you something. I'm Ted Bell, and first off, I happen to very much care for this girl. She's 16 years old. Okay, I'm not having sex with her. And you're talking about her father. No father alive can keep me away from his daughter once I've decided that I would like to be friends with her.
Wait, hold on. I want you to be very careful, and I want you to say that again.
I'll say it again. I don't care.
Say it.
No father alive can keep me away from his daughter once I have set my sights on her and I want to be friends with her. Now, this Kelly is 16 years old. 16 years old, going on 41. She has taught me about life. She has taught me about friendship and the meaning of my soul. My life was an empty bag. My life was an empty potato bag before I met her. I was walking around like an empty lard can before I met her. All I had was the restaurant and my wife, Patty, who doesn't shave her legs, bitches and moans because she's not at the Gauguin Cruise yet, and every other thing, doesn't like her jewelry, and I met Kelly and I want to spend some time with her. And if you think that her father's going to keep me from seeing her just because he's her father, I'm Ted Bell. Nobody tells Ted Bell what to do. Nobody.
We play the commercial again?
That's right, because I want to get my money's worth.
A Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And for you to say to me that I don't have the right to go out with a woman, and...
She's not a woman.
All right, a 16-year-old girl, yet she has a woman's heart and soul, I think that's proof that you're not a friend of mine, and I'm shocked.
Yes, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
What is that on the radio?
This is Britney Spears. I happen to like it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I guess you were going out with a 16-year-old.
I'm not going out with her. Let me tell you something, Phil. Kelly is my Juliet, and I'm her Romeo. Kelly is everything to me.
You're 42 and she's 16.
But in many ways, we're the same age. I might as well be 14. When I'm around her, I feel like I'm her age. 14.
I thought you said she was 16.
I never said that.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not. I said she's 14.
Now she's 14.
Yes.
Ted, you know...
Oh, it's a big difference now. When she's around me, she's 24. When she's with me, she's a woman. A woman of maturity, a woman of depth, a woman of soul, a woman of heart, a woman of who reads and goes to critiques film, loves sculpture. We'll go to the art museum to watch. We're going to go over and see the Marc Chagall over at the L.A. County Museum of Art. It's going to be fantastic. When I'm around Kelly, I feel like a giddy schoolgirl, and you would never know that she's 13 years old. All of the things...
You just said that she was 12... you just said she was 16 and then 14...
Bull crap.
You said she was 16. How old is she?
She's 12.
You just said she's 13.
Phil, I am telling you, there is nothing sexual going on between Kelly and I. She's ageless. She may be 11, but she's 8...
Now she's 11.
I said to you that she was 11.
You said to me she was 16, 14, then she was 13, 12, now she's 11.
Phil, she is the most intelligent 8-year-old I've ever met in my life.
Wait a minute, now you're in love with an 8-year-old.
I never said that.
You just said 8.
I said 7. But Phil, look, Bo Derek was 10.
No, she wasn't. She was a 10.
She was 10.
She was a 10.
Kelly, you would never know that she's 4. She's just so, I gotta go.
Get out of here with your rotten, stupid, simple-minded life. I'm Ted Bell. Will you get out of here with that? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The voice of Ted Bell in the preceding bit was performed by Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry also performed his own voice. It's the Phil Hendry Show, where people call in not knowing it's Phil doing a goofy voice, and they talk to a made-up guy.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Well, the good news is it's only a few days off. Today is August 27th, and that means baseball will most likely go on strike on the 30th, and that can only be good news for all of us who, well, for all of us. Yeah, for all of us. I was going to say for all of us who, dot, 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 for all of us who, what? All of us are looking forward to this momentous event, baseball going out on strike. All of them just going home and sitting by the phone and pretending like America is wringing its hands, just, oh, so upset and worried that we won't have the Fall Classic. You know, there was a time many, many years ago when the Fall Classic was fun. When I was a kid, they used to play the baseball Fall Classic, the World Series, in the daytime. Can you believe that? And the nuns would let us come in with our little transistor radios, and we'd sit there listening to the game, and it was a lot of fun. And you'd go out and pretend like you're Roger Maris or Mickey Mantle. But, of course, that was a long, long time ago. The Fall Classic is no longer really a Fall Classic. Not with all the camera angles shoved up some guy's rear end and up his nostril. Not with all of the background stories and the personality pieces and the inside focus and the outside focus and the Jack Bucks and the Joe Bucks and the Tim McGraws and the Tommy McGraws and the Quick Draw McGraws. It's just an event featuring many individuals, owner and player alike. I'm not a guy that takes sides. Far be it from me. Why would you take sides in the baseball? Whose side are you on? What, are you going to take the owner's side and take their side? Why would I want to be on the side of the owners? Why would I want to be on the side of the players? None of those people have anything in common with you. That's the bottom line. None of them have anything in common with you. You work for a living. They don't. They don't work for a living any more than I do. I take that back. I work for a living, too. They don't work for a living. Oh, I know it's difficult to maintain a certain level of proficiency to stay in the big leagues, but yeah, that's. I could do it. I could get out there, I could play baseball, and, you know, it's not a hard thing to do. Yeah, sure, right, Phil. Well, you know what I'm saying. Ah, hell, it's a kid's game. I could go out and play it. Anyway, the fact is, all the bullcrap aside, best thing that could happen to us would be for baseball to go out on strike. You know, I'm having my party on Saturday night. If they go out on strike, I was thinking I'd flip on a couple of games there in the billiard room. But now what I'm going to put on there, monster truck rallies. You know what? I just figured out. They're going to be an exhibition football game, or the season starts this weekend, doesn't it? You see, we've got something called football. Yes, football. Football is a sport that we've loved for many years. I wanted to get a little theme music going here. Football, a game that we've loved for many years, a game that somehow is able to survive because I guess the owners beat the players into submission. Which, you know, I mean, I feel bad for the players, but what do I give a crap? Yes, football. I can't wait for football to start. Get baseball out of here. Every year, you know, it's the same thing. Football starts, and how many baseball games do you watch? I don't watch a freaking one. Only reason why I watch baseball is I sit there bored out of my mind wanting something to watch on TV, some sporting event. Okay, there's baseball. I mean, I'll watch the Canadian Football League before I watch Major League Baseball. I will watch the Saskatchewan Rough Riders against the Ottawa Rough Riders. What is up with the Rough? How many Rough Riders they got up there? You know, I'm very suspicious about what their intentions are up there in Canada with all them Rough Riders. I'll watch the Toronto Argonauts against whoever the hell they play, the Edmonton Eskimos, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and of course, Janice's hometown team, the BC Lions. I'll watch that trampoline basketball on ESPN2 with that cat, what's Coolio, hitting them 50-point shots before I'll watch a baseball game. I'll watch that sky surfing extreme sport. I'll watch backyard wrestling. I'll watch guys surfing, sky surfing. Some cat going over a waterfall in a thin plywood canoe before I'll watch baseball. I'll rewatch the Zapruder film 50 times. 60 times, over and over again. I'll watch film of that South Vietnamese chief of police blowing away that Viet Cong. I'll watch Britney Spears strip before... Well, naturally, I'd watch... Well, anyway. Why, I'd rather have sex with my wife than watch baseball. You gotta be putting me on with that game. Get out of here already. Go on strike. Leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Quit pretending like we care. Quit pretending like you're important. And you guys at the LA Times and New York Times, every paper across America, quit putting that crap on your front page. It is so dull to read headlines like, oh, looks like the owners and players aren't getting along. Well, do you guys think that's news, really? Do you really think it's news? I know it's called a sports section. What would be news is if you guys did some real reporting and got out and talked to fans. Go ahead and talk to fans. Do a weekly, like every day of the week, you know, like a 16-week expose on fans. Just fans, just where they're at. Did you see the piece about the San Diego Chicken in the LA Times the other day? The Chicken? You know where that guy is now? He has fallen on horribly hard times. The Chicken was a guy that went to San Diego State back in 1973, a guy by the name of Ted Gianellis. Guy's about my age. And he was a nut job at a campus radio station, and the guys at down at the KGB in San Diego said, we want to have a chicken to give out eggs on an Easter Sunday promotion. So he said, yeah, sure, I'll get into the suit. He got into the chicken suit, and then they were going to crap can the promotion. He said, can I keep the suit and just go to a Padre game because I want to see some people that I know? So then he goes to this Padre game. Next thing you know, the guy is the original clown mascot, right? And KGB said, well, you got to call yourself the KGB Chicken. He said, no, I don't. I'm the guy that created the character. So he sued them and gained ownership of the chicken suit and became, I mean, the cat's the funniest freaking mascot ever. Did you ever see the time when he came walking out onto the field, right, in the chicken suit, and he had dressed up a bunch of little kids in little chicken suits? So he's walking, and he's got like 10 little chickens behind him, and they all one at a time lift their leg on the umpire and then walk off. It was freaking great. How about the time when he had the eye chart that he would show to the umpire just to see if the guy could read? I mean, he'd do everything. He'd get hit in the balls and walk, you know, knock-kneed. And well, they were interviewing this poor guy. He says, you know, you can't do it anymore because the players, they don't want to. Like back in the day, the players would say, yeah, sure, man, I'll take part in a little before the game skit with you, you know, for the fans. Now the players don't want to do it. They don't want to know the guy. They don't want to have, there's no sense of humor in the clubhouse anymore. The players are taking it way too seriously, like what they're doing matters. Like what they're doing has some effect on the culture. I don't understand. I mean, what are we doing here? Is there fungus on a bread? Is there going to be some penicillin? What are you doing? You're hitting a ball? And they're all serious, and they're all professionals, and they're all just, you know, getting down because, man, it'll be important come the Fall Classic, you know. You win that big. And then the World Series happens, and somehow in their puny minds, it's an incredibly large event that the Arizona Diamondbacks are the world champions. And the rest of us yawn, take a fairly healthy dump, and go to bed. And the next morning, we forget that we even saw the game. Yeah, we go to bed. That's nice, Arizona. Yeah, okay. Turn it off, and only people in Phoenix and the Diamondbacks themselves, and we all go to watch a football game. So go out on strike, leave us alone, take your quibbling and your bickering and whatever it is you guys think you're doing and put it in a back room somewhere and just go away. Strike. Go ahead. Don't strike. Whatever. Nobody wants to watch your stupid game anymore. Oh, I know there's a few diehard fans. I have great respect for them. I understand. There's a certain tradition and there's a certain rhythm to baseball, yada, 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 yada. But the fact of the matter remains that, you know, we're gradually weaning ourselves off of that ridiculous sport. It doesn't say anything about us. It doesn't speak to us. I mean, we need more hitting, okay? We want more bloodletting. That's what I want anyway. I don't know about anybody else. A little more contact, you know. That's why I love basketball. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here it says, baseball negotiators fighting the deadline of a Friday player strike, held 3 bargaining sessions, money, refused to discuss the status of talks with the media. They learned that no proposals or counterproposals were made. The side spent most of the time discussing ways to bridge the huge gap in what's proposing. You know, yesterday we were talking about, here's a sport, baseball, that doesn't change any rules, unlike football, unlike basketball, unlike hockey, which will adjust the rules of the game to make the game interesting. Football's constantly adjusting offensive rules with regard to, you know, with wide receivers, how close to the line of scrimmage. But baseball, oh, no, no, not them. No. I mean, they debated for decades whether they should actually have interleague play. This was like the Dead Sea Scrolls or so. I mean, you know, in other words, it was like, you know, holding the host with your hand instead of letting the priest put it on your tongue. It was like the mass is in English instead of Latin. We're going to have interleague play? No. I mean, it was like Ecumenical Five, you know, all the... I don't know, but we're going to have a Polack Pope. Oh, you know, that's nuts. They've always been Italian. Well, we've had enough grease balls in there. Let's get the Poles in there. Okay. Just like baseball, we can't have interleague. Well, they finally get interleague play. Now you say to them, hey, let's speed the game. What do you mean speed the game? Well, like, can we speed it up, man? Well, we'll tell the umpires to speed it up. What about a clock? Oh, no clock in baseball. All right, widen the strike zone. Shrink the strike zone. Something. Shorten the base paths. Make them wear funny masks. Anything that will, you know, force them to wear, have them have brass knuckles. So when they go out in one of those brawls on the mound, somebody actually gets hurt. Somebody, when he gets clocked, actually gets his jaw broken. Anything. They never, in years and years of fights in baseball, I never seen a guy land a clean punch in my life, except for one. I saw one guy really take it. You know, the guys that really land the punches are the basketball players. Jesus, guys get their whole faces caved in playing basketball. But baseball players, these guys who make their living with the hand-eye coordination, they couldn't land a punch, man, if you had a gun to their head. Just flailing around. It looked like a bunch of, well, I was going to say female softballers, but though, have you ever seen a fight among women on a softball diamond? It's brutal! Because they use their nails. So when's the 30th? Is that Friday? Beautiful. Beautiful. It'll be a wonderful weekend with no baseball, and we can look forward to, you know, week one, the National Football League season, which, by the way, I think the Dolphins are going to be in very good shape with Ricky Williams. I think that the Patriots are going to be an interesting team to watch. I love them. I think the Chargers suck beyond all recognition. I think all of you fine people in San Diego have got a real crap can team down there. Ha 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 ha. I can't wait to see you guys get hammered by the Raiders, who will probably be competitive. Watch out for Tampa Bay with John Gruden down there. It's going to be cool. The Houston Texans, who? Well, you know what I mean. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.